Today's scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Amen.
보게 되면 그리스도 예수의 좋은 군사에 대해
Today's reading passage talks about the good soldiers of Jesus Christ.
먼저 말씀을 드리겠습니다.
And let me give you the conclusion first.
그 중간중간에 제목들을 소제목들을 말씀을 드릴
Of course I will tell you the specifics, the details in the middle, but we might not be able to finish this whole sermon today, so let me give you first give you the conclusion. The first thing about the God-pleasing man is that the one who does not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. And the second, I don't know about the second, up to which point I'm going to be able to finish. But secondly, it is the one who has to go over one's own limits. As so many, most people who are listening to the message of the senior pastor, they are trying to achieve the goal of going into spirit and Holy Spirit. They are trying to do the will of God, the will of the Lord. You know, even in this world, when you get a job, when you go to a place to work, you know, there are different rules and regulations. And when you try to get, when you try to enter to pass the job interview, they have some certain criteria. So you have to pass these criteria. I heard, I saw, there was a company, the CEO, the owner of the company likes soccer so much. So, you know, everybody, you know, who wants to get a job in this company, they have to play the soccer with this CEO. And otherwise, they can't pass. You know, even though they are so capable. And so that is the only, that is the first criterion that they have. So they have different qualifications and criteria that they have to pass to get a job. Much in the same way, to become God-pleasing soldier, we have to become a good soldier of the Christ. We have to be God-pleasing man. And the first is that one must not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life, and he must be able to go over his own limits. Not just about, it is not just about praying, and it has to, we have to practice it. We have to cultivate goodness. We have to seek the benefit of others. And otherwise, our faith cannot grow up. As I hear the stories of some people, they increase, their level of faith increased by 0.1% or 0.01% or even by 10%. He was on the rock of faith last year, and through this 3 months, he increased a 10. She increased about 10% in a certain department. She is not one of the persons who has to be re-educated, but she comes early in the morning, and she cleans up the office, and for those who are participating in the morning prayer, because most of them, they don't have breakfast, so she makes some toasts. And so once you go to that office, like a bakery or something, you have you know, smell of bread coming out, and she's investing her own time and effort to serve the staff in her office. You know, it's not just about the cost that she has to spend. You know, oh, I'm already on the rock of faith and I'm okay. And she comes early like other people do. And I'm right after they come back from the prayer meeting, she makes these toasts for them. Many people say, oh, I have these many percentages. And I ask them, how do other people around you say that you are changed? I ask them. And to what extent? And this is what God the Father really wants. It's not about bread, or it's not about money. It is the heart of service that we should have. Because many other staff are participating in this program, re-education program. You know, you participate all together with your heart. If you are listening to the Word of God, I hear from people, different people. Of course, I don't hear the stories from everybody, but this particular person, she begins to like the Word of God so much, so she doesn't even want to cook. Although she is a housewife, and I say, you know, it's not right. She still has to do her duty as the housewife to cook for her children and also the husband, and to give them pleasure and to nourish them. You have to expend all your effort and heart, you know, with the heart of service, just the way you'd serve the Lord and the senior pastor. Then it'll also become your reward. And as she is learning the Word of God, she feels happier learning the Word of God, but she may forget about what she has to do. So I hope you will understand that practicing the Word of God is the main point. You say, I'd like to become spiritual warriors. No matter how much you say it, you have to be qualified. Judges, in chapter 7 of Judges, Gideon recruits 300 warriors. At first, people followed Gideon. At first, the number was 32,000. God said, this is more than enough. You have to select those who are right, suitable in the sight of God, who will not complain and who will just obey. So God said, those who are afraid, those who have fear, they must all go back home, go back to their hometowns. And after that, 22,000 people left. So 22,000 were afraid. And so now God said, among the 10,000, remaining 10,000, God selected. You know, 10,000 was still more than enough in accomplishing the kingdom of God. You know, not just having a lot of numbers is not enough. And having physical talent is not good enough. It is, the important thing is, we have to, the people who work for God, they have to believe in God, trust God 100%. They have to obey God 100%. So God told Gideon to test them in a stream of water as to how they drink the water. So as, you know, just like a dog's lick the water, those who were licking the water or those who were, and also they were just drinking with their hands. And so, and only 300 out of 10,000 drank from their hands, and without putting their mouth in the water itself. So through those 300 people, God gave them victory, great victory. So even you have some you have the qualifications to meet when you actually want to go into spirit. So as I see the people who are on the rock of faith, just like in the first criterion, you know, they are not entangled by the affairs of everyday life. You know, they They are, you know, they don't have, they don't worry about physical things of this life. You know, they can concentrate on the works of God. They can, you know, they can choose spiritual things over physical things. You know, and they are the ones who are on the rock of faith. But those who are in the spirit, they are also at a different level. And they have given up all their physical lives, and they are completely given to God the Father, and solely for the glory of God and to become the strength to the senior pastor. And they don't just try to become the strength. You know, they share the pain of the senior pastor. What kind of heart, what kind of pain in the heart the senior pastor is having? What kind of, you know, they suffer together with the senior pastor. They mourn together for the souls, and these souls have to grow up in faith quickly. And just like the comment of the senior pastor, some for 30 years, for 20 years, for 10 years, some of them have been here with him, whether they are in spirit or in flesh. You know, everybody is the flock of the shepherd, and he harbors everybody that they will all go to New Jerusalem together. And those who are in spirit, you know, their hearts are united with the heart of the senior pastor, so they mourn for the souls together with him, and they cry out, they pray together with him for different aspects. Sometimes, you know, we also shed tears when he sheds tears, but for the last 30 years, we can't imagine what kind of times, what kind of pains he had. So how much, to what extent have we felt the pain of the senior pastor? And we have to admit the fact that we lack the willingness to follow after his actions, his heart, his agony that he has for the souls. We shouldn't just say, oh, he has accomplished great power of God and he has accomplished great works of God. We have to understand his pains and the times when he has to shed tears alone. We have to participate in his sufferings together. So, God-pleasing man. To become a God-pleasing man, firstly, we must not entangle ourselves in the affairs of everyday life. Even those who are doing great works, great businessmen in the world, they do not really have to, they don't really have to care for their family so much. I mean, they are not entangled by their physical life, physical family. If you think about why you are not on the rock of faith yet, you have to search your heart as to what kind of things you have in your heart. Worries about your children, or worries about your husband, worries about money, or worries about your power, or social status, or authority, or fame. If you are entangled by these things, then God, you cannot do the will of God-pleasing will. Galatians 5:24 says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if you have not crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, we can think about the person. An example, priest Eli. He was entangled in his own life, with his own children. So he could not live a life pleasing God. As the priest, he must have thought about God alone. And until he became the priest, he must have lived a life of putting all about God. And he could have known, he could have had knowledge about God, but he couldn't really practice it. So he couldn't raise his children in faith, spiritually. 1 Samuel 2:29 says, in 1 Samuel 2:29, God says, Eli honored his sons above God. And let us look into why Eli was forsaken by God. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. First Samuel 1:3 says, Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Haphni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. The two sons of Eli, they were also priests to the Lord, God. But all three of them were forsaken by God. In 1 Samuel 2:25 and 4:11, God said that they would die in one day. And his end was miserable. His two sons, Eli's end, his two sons were dead in a battlefield. His daughter-in-law died in childbirth, in labor, and Eli himself fell from the second floor and died. Because he couldn't teach his children properly according to the word of God, he raised them in a fleshly way, and eventually they all were killed in a miserable way. The sons of Eli, as in 1 Samuel 2:12, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. They were worthless men. And the sons of Eli, they were also priests, but their lives were worthless. And they were thinking the sacrifices given to God. And they slept with their women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And they took the ark of God without any permission on their own discretion. And where the ark was taken by the Philistines. And the ark of the Lord is God himself. And without any proper procedure or permission, they took it out to the battlefield. And it was taken by the Philistines. The reason why they lived worthless lives was not because they didn't know God. Sometimes church members come for counseling, and I say to them, when the children keep the Lord's Day holy, and if they stop coming to Sunday, if you really want to raise them, if you really want to raise them in the truth, I ask them, do you have the willingness to kick them out of your household unless they follow the truth of God? Are they willing? You know, I'm not telling them to kick them out, but are you willing? Or are you thinking that, oh, are you afraid that that they will not follow the truth of God? And by checking that, you can check whether you have fleshly affection more or spiritual love more. So the two sons of Eli, they were worthless men and they did not know the Lord. You know, they did not, it's not that they didn't know about God. It's that they could not know about God. It's that they did not know God. There are some people who did not know about God. Of course, before December 25th, of 2010 and after that are completely different. But these children, in their growth, they knew about God, but they didn't try to know about God more. They didn't want to know God. They didn't want to have God in their heart. That is why they committed sins leading to death. And not being able to know God and not knowing God are two different things. But the two sons of Eli, they did not know God. They didn't intend to know God. So they didn't obey the word of God, and they, as priests themselves and as sons of the priest, they should have lived an exemplary life, but they committed sins. But in the grace of and love of the shepherd, unlike these sons of Eli, he loved the students more than their parents loved them. Doesn't the senior pastor love you more than your parents love you? And He loves you more than you love yourself. Sometimes when I pray, I think that rather than the desire I have to go into New Jerusalem, He wants me to come to New Jerusalem even more. And you feel that. All mommy members, they, if you have just a little bit of faith, you feel that. You know, in physical sense, senior pastor doesn't, he can't give any advice or say anything to other people, like senior deaconess Jung Sun Lee said. You know, when the mother said, do not follow me, he would just, even when he had to pay for the tuition, he couldn't ask the money. And until the teachers told him to bring the parents to the school, and even to his children, he'd never ask us to bring something, do any errands or house chores or anything. But about, he is very stern, strict about something, about the truth, to leave, depart from evil. And he's so strict about it, so stern about it, because he loves us so much, not in fleshly way, but in spiritual way. He loves us so much. And with that love, He wants us to, and through that love, we were changed. And many of you, we were all changed to a great extent. Of course, we will have to change more. And through this love of the shepherd, we gained a new life. On the other hand, on the contrary, these sons of Eli, they were disobedient to the word of God. Eli didn't really teach them properly. 1 Samuel 2:17 says, thus the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the man despised the offering of the Lord. At first they were worthless men, and they didn't know God. They did not want to know about God. They didn't want to know God. And, you know, one of the greatest sins before God is that they despised the offering of the Lord. Offering in today's sense is the worship service. You know, when we want to do spiritual faithfulness, we have to lay the firm foundation. We have to have the firm basics. Oh, I want to go to New Rock of Faith and I want to go into Rock of Faith and spare very quickly, and the housewife doesn't care about her family members. It means she is not laying the foundation properly. She is not doing her duties. In the same way, being faithful in the worship service, which is given to God, unless we have to offer it with all our heart. It's the same with the meetings that are done in the name of the Lord. According to what kind of mind we have, you have to search your heart. What kind of, you were just right on time, you are hurrying yourself to be there right on time, and sometimes you are late. And those who are late, they are always late. And those who are, and also those who are late to the worship services, they are always late. So these worship services are given to God the Father. So you have to check whether your children, how much your children are faithfully, how faithfully they are worshiping God. What kind of heart, also you have to check your heart. What kind of mindset you have? And also, you have a family worship service, special praise, we have representative prayer. We all had these proceedings. So, when I was doing the first representative prayer for the worship service after I became a pastor, because I thought about writing something down, because I was not really a public speaker. I was nervous. But I thought, you know, since I was young, I was doing the representative prayer before the senior pastor, and what can't I do? So I just did it. And it was great strength to me, you know, what I had done in my childhood, in the family worship services. So before the Sunday comes, in that cold winter days, you know, you heard about what kind of house we were living in. And in the early morning of Sunday, you know, he would wake us up because we didn't have so much money. We couldn't afford to go to public bath. And after he came back from the all-night prayer, we had a heater outside, and he would heat up some water, and he would wake us up one by one, and in that early morning, he would give us bath to prepare for the Sunday. And it was very cold, you know, even the room, bedroom was very cold because we didn't have enough heating. And in that, in the shop, there was also very cold. And right after the bath, we would jump into the blankets. But, you know, every Sunday, that's how he let us prepare for the Lord's Day. And that was the kind of mindset that he wanted us to have. The best and everything for God. He never gave us offerings separately. He gave us some allowances, and he taught us to save, to give to God from within our allowances. And he just taught us how to how we are supposed to give offerings to God the Father. You know, we were seeing him. You know, he would iron them and when to make it look good, and when it is solid and when it was straightened up. This is for offerings to God. And he would tell us, show us how we are supposed to serve God, how we are supposed to serve the pastors. At that time, it was a small shop and small bedroom. When he was in the theological seminary, theological college, there were so many seminary students coming to visit. And Mrs. Lee, she was, you know, she couldn't serve something so fancy and expensive, but some noodles, and she would always serve them with these. Of course, they came to listen to senior pastor's messages, but you know, Mrs. Lee, she would serve them with all her best. And from these small things, we learned as to what kind of attitude we have to serve God and to serve the man of God. And so even though senior pastor, didn't tell us to what to do specifically, we learned naturally on what kind of days we have to have special focus. And in some occasions, senior pastors said that he would give more offerings, more thanks offerings than last year. And, you know, I was seeing him write the family accounting. And he would increase the offering every year. Whatever is given to God, he was doing better and more every year for God. But the two sons of Eli, you know, they were taking the offerings that were supposed to be given to God. They touched them before it was given to God. And it was to look down on God so much. It was to despise God. And we have to serve God with all our heart. We have to prepare everything to serve God with all our heart. But they despised God, and they despised the worship service. They despised the offerings. But nevertheless, Eli didn't punish them or anything. He just said, oh, you shouldn't do that. That was all he did. And eventually, all three of them had to be forsaken by God and fell to the way of destruction. Sometimes we hear some stories, you know, when as they become seniors in high school, they are pretty good at they get pretty good grades, but they worry that they about getting into colleges. Sometimes they fail. So the first thing I ask is, did you attend Saturday praise and worship? And they didn't. They don't. And now they begin to. After they fail in the entrance, college entrance. So not all students, but even though, you know, their parents are elders' parents or their leaders' parents, leader parents, elder parents, but because they have to study and they have to do this and do that in the school, they have to quit. You know, these parents make their children quit choir member and stop them from going to Saturday praise and worship. Just for the studying, a little bit more, they stop these children from spending their time on spiritual things. These times are supposed to be given to God. But they take away the times given that are supposed to be given to God. And only after failing in the college entrance, they begin to attend Tuesday praise and worship because they go up to the young adults' mission. And you heard so many times from senior pastor. It's not only about one or two persons, one or two students. Even families of children of elders and children of leaders, they don't do the choir anymore. They don't sing in the choir anymore. They don't go to Saturday praise and worship. The parents stop them from doing these things just because they are seniors in high school and they have to study more. And I hope you will check only because of the parents, even though it is to give glory to God. I hope you will check whether you are stopping your children from being spiritually growing up. And you have to teach them to be able to do more and more for God and also to fulfill their studies, to do their studies in school. Some students, they came to greet me that they became members of Nazareth choir. So I asked them, the senior pastor, he never asked us what grades we were getting, but if we missed the choir, he definitely asked us why, what happened. That's what I told him. So he always wanted us to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. But the sons of Eli, they were being fleshly. They were living in untruth, which is against the word of God. But because their parents didn't reprimand them properly, and eventually all of them, the father and the sons, fell into destruction. 1 Samuel 2:29 says, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel?" God says, Eli loved his sons more. Of course, Eli must have thought he loved God. He was worshiping God. He was giving the offerings to God. He was a priest, after all. But in his actual life, when he was treating his sons, you know, he was rebuking Hannah, who was revering God. When Hannah was full of the Spirit, Eli thought she was drunk and rebuked her. But he didn't rebuke his own sons who were despising God. And if you are really willing, you know, you must be willing, as a priest, he must have been willing to cut the fleshly relationship if they were not living by the word of God. But he just loved them fleshly, and he couldn't please God. If you think about the reason why you are not on the rock of faith yet, you have to check your heart. What kind of things do you have in your heart? If you worry about your children, your husband, about money, more than you worry about God and God's kingdom, or you really want to give everything to God the Father. There's a businessman who started a business, and he wanted to, you know, of course, all businessmen, they want to receive blessings, financial blessings. So I once asked him how much New Year's offering he gave to God. And he said he gave about a couple of some $500. You are a businessman, and you are entrusting to God your whole year, and how come you can give only that much? And he said, I gave everything I had. You know, his boy was in elementary school. And do you send him to a cram school? Yes. And how much is the cram school cost? It cost $800. In the world, you know, there are even more expensive schools too. And this Hagwon, or cram school, he gave New Year's offering, which is less than 1 month tuition fee for a cram school of his child. And who does this man love more? Does he love God more? Does he love the church more? Does he love the shepherd more? He loves his child more than God. And that is what he is that's the kind of life he is showing to his child. And how can the child love God? I heard from somebody's testimony. She had to pay the tuition of college of her child. So she prepared an amount. And she really wanted to give this money to senior pastor. And she didn't think twice. She just gave it. And right away, right after that, the school informed her that they gave her child a scholarship for the third quarter. And if you worry about your situation, money, then, oh, this is the money that I have to give for the tuition of my child. But in her heart, she was moved. She was urged by the Spirit, and she boldly obeyed, and according to her faith, you know, not after some time, but God worked right away, so she could pay, you know, she didn't have to pay the tuition for the third quarter of the school. And this man, this worker, who was doing business, you know, just to run his car, it would cost more than $500 a month. And he was paying $800 for his child's cram school. And when he was leaving to God, entrusting to God his whole year, and if he could give only that much amount, how can he say he loves God? Sometimes when I visit the members, sometimes they give their thanks offerings to the church. And I don't ask who is giving how much. Of course I don't ask. I don't see. I just pray on it. Pray on them and just give them to the church. But one day, by chance I saw, and the thanks offering was 5,000 won, which is about $5. You know, it's not so often that she gets a visitation from the pastor. She is in a situation to give, to be able to give more, much more. I knew her situations. And I thought there must be a reason why God let me see it. And the husband said, and she gives only $2, $3 of Sunday offering. But she's been in Manmin Church for a long time, and her husband is making quite a lot. And because of that, they didn't have enough money. And I asked, how much do you spend on your children? And he didn't tell me. But, you know, they spend so much, and they spend so much on their children. And just for God, who is protecting us all throughout the week, who is protecting all your family members, and you give thanks for the whole week, and how can you give just this much? And you wish that your faith will grow up? And they later wrote a letter, and the husband told that to me, and she became sulky, and for 2 days she wouldn't talk, and she repented later. And you spend so much on your children, and just think about how much the senior pastor is spending on the and when you spend so much on your children, and what do you do to God? You know, I don't usually ask how much offering the leaders give, but when I'm urged so much, and I asked that leader, how much did you give for the New Year's service? And she said, and because of her children's debt, she paid back some thousands of dollars of children's debt. You know, for their children, they pay back thousands of dollars. But to entrust to God, one to leave for the blessing of the whole year. How can they give just like $100 for the whole year? And they are not newcomers. They are not new believers in the church. They are elders and leaders of the church. And look at those who are in spirit, those who are in Holy Spirit. What kind of acts, what kind of deeds do they have before God the Father? You can see that the level is totally different. You know, they try to give more and more and more. Even after giving everything, they still try to give more. Whatever they have, they want to give to God and God's kingdom. And the reason why they save money is nothing but to give to God and to use it for the kingdom of God. And we learned this from the senior pastor and Mrs. Lee. And you heard so many times and you see so many times from senior pastor, but you are entangled by your own life, by your own children, and you neglect what you're supposed to be giving to God. And you, you become stingy before God, and you cannot escape from that state. And because of that, I want you to think that maybe that's the reason, whether it's the reason that you are not being able to go into the rock of faith yet. Because priest Eli, he loved his children more than God. This tragedy happened. And we are so thankful that we cannot help but give thanks to the senior pastor. We have to give much more thanks. You know, we cannot help but just keep on giving thanks until the Lord comes back, even after we go to heavenly kingdom. And preparing for this message, I thought once again that, you know, senior pastor, he doesn't say anything that could offend others. And since I became 30, I began to gain weight and I gained more than 20 kilograms, but he, senior pastor, never asked me about my weight, probably because I could feel a bit ashamed or offended. He never asked me. And I feel sorry to him too, but, you know, he can never say anything that could be offending. But about sins, he is very strict. You know, he always, you know, until all his energy is drained out, you know, shedding tears again and again. You know, he preaches. You know, even though he doesn't have energy, he preaches with all everything he's got. You know, and through his love and sacrifice, we can feel the love of God and how thankful we must be. And through this love, we can go up to the rock of faith, and those who are in the rock of faith, they can go into the Spirit quickly. And this priest Eli was entangled in his everyday affair of his life. But on the contrary, there is a person who is the opposite of this priest Eli. And preparing for this message, I was reading this Mommy newsletter, the fourth session of goodness, if you've read it. It was Jonathan's goodness. As you know very well, what kind of goodness did he have in the sight of God? He did not think about fleshly, physical things. He just thought about God's will. So he cut off the fleshly, physical relationship. Even he rebuked, you know, with earnestness. He advised his father. But David was just a shepherd. And he became famous in Israel because he killed Goliath, the enemy commander, the great giant. And after killing Goliath, women were singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And since then, the evil in Saul's heart was intrigued. And since then, Saul began to hate David. He put him as the army commander, but because he was earning the praise from the people, Saul began to hate David. and he planned to kill him. And seeing that, Saul's son Jonathan, he didn't just keep quiet about it. He wanted to let Saul understand that he was doing wrong. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 4 to 5 says, Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause? And he was advising Saul this way. Saul was trying to kill David so much. And his son, Saul's son Jonathan, he was telling Saul not to kill David, saying that David has only done well. He saved the country from the Philistines. And he was talking about the goodness of David. And what kind of mindset did he have when Jonathan was telling his father, King Saul, about it? He risked his life. He knew he could be killed right away, but he didn't want to spare his life. He just wanted to follow the will of God and advised his father, King Saul, not to kill David. And in another sense, Jonathan was the heir. He was the one to become the next king. But if he had this desire, fleshly desires, in that situation, he must have participated with Saul. He could have just kept quiet at least. But Jonathan was thinking about God first, and he sought the will of God. He didn't seek a fleshly affection or fleshly things, fleshly desire. But he just cut off all these fleshly things, and he just followed the will of God. And that is why God was pleased with this goodness of Jonathan. What kind of life are we living? Are we entangled by the everyday affair of our lives? Or are we trying to live by the word of God, try to follow His will? And are we trying to break down our limitations, physical limitations? It doesn't mean you don't have to. You must not care about your children. It doesn't mean you must only talk about the truth to your children as you hear the testimony from time to time. Suppose even when you give them, when senior pastor was giving us a lash, he does not, listen to me well. Listen to me. No. Now suppose your children do not attend worship service, but they are good at their studies. But are you happy about it? Or just because they are not attending worship service, are you really willing to sternly admonish them? We were not taught to listen to the parents. Senior pastor always taught us to listen to the word of God. He taught us only according to the word of God. This is the word of God. And you violated this part of the word of God. And that is why the father, the senior pastor, had to punish us. Because the Bible tells us, if you spare the rod, and you'll spoil the child. Sometimes when you hear about the children, do not touch your children. When you do not hit them with your hand. And when they are falling asleep in the worship service, do not pinch them. Now, these things are also not right in the sanctuary. If you do that in the sanctuary, they will look down on the holy church of God. You are pinching them and hitting them, and you make faces before in the sanctuary. It is the holy church of God. And if you really value the church of God, even when the children are doing something wrong, you will admonish them only after you go back home and talk about it as to what kind of attitude they had when they were attending the worship service before God, so they can look back on themselves before God. It's just not because they don't listen to you. You have to make them listen to the word of God. Sometimes the children, when as they grow up, they are born, and as they grow up, they enter elementary school, and they say, oh, our children, they cannot pray. But they bring their children to Daniel prayer meeting. What is the reason that they can't pray? Because in the home, they have to teach them how to pray, and they have, you have to guide them so they can follow the prayer. But they don't do that at homes. And they just bring them to the Daniel prayer meeting. And you just put them there. And so they just sleep. They cry and sleep in the Daniel prayer meeting. So you have to teach them how to pray at home. So you have to pray. You have to teach them how to pray. So that when they come to the Daniel prayer meeting, they can pray by themselves. But you don't do that. So as they grow up, they don't feel it is fun to pray. And it is not to talk. It is to talk before the invisible God. And how can the children feel it is fun? So you have to teach them, and you have to teach them how to pray and how to receive an answer to your prayers as you let them pray in the households. And you can guide them. We can pray for this time so that this prayer point can be answered today. If they want something, they can pray before God. You store up goodness before God, and you pray before God so you can receive an answer from God. So this way you can teach little children to pray so they can feel it is fun to pray and it is fun to lead a life in Christ. But you are doing the work of God, but you are not really giving them the time. You are not really teaching them how to pray. So these children, they do not feel it's fun to pray or attend worship service, and when they go to middle school, they just want to sleep in the worship services. It's because the parents didn't teach them right. So beginning from these things, I hope you will teach them how to worship God, with what kind of mindset they should have before God. Don't just say, be faithful, pray, you know, from little things. I hope you will set examples from little things. And as I stopped, and when you admonish them, do not just scold them. In my family, we received a punishment, and then we had some kind of a party, so we could feel the love of the Father. It is not to let us feel afraid, but He was making sure that we learned a lesson, because if we violated the Word of God, we could eventually fall into hell. He would explain everything, and He would also give us punishment. And after that, He would comfort our heart, you know, having a chicken party or something like that, so that we could feel His love and love of God. So it wouldn't give us any fear in our heart. So that's how we grew up, to follow the will of God all the time. It's not to, you know, you shouldn't just think about what is seen on the outside, but you have to teach your children so that they can really follow the will of God. So I hope you will check whether you are really loving your children in a spiritual way, or you are loving them and in a fleshly way, so that you will not be entangled by the everyday affair of your life. So today, I talked about this one thing, but if I have another chance, next time I will talk about the other point. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for giving us Your Word, and let us become a God-pleasing man. And let us think about how we can really be pleasing in the sight of God. Let us not be entangled by the everyday affairs of our lives. Let us be offering all our lives to God the Father. And like Jonathan, let us not be entangled by the physical things of life. Let us give everything to You, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We'll receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Laying your hands on your chest. Hallelujah, Almighty God, God of love. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light, come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.